A very good morning, friends, and welcome to another Theology Tuesday with me, Rocky Stevenson, pastor of Benoni Bible Church. And today I want to really carry on from a bit of where we left off last week. Last week we were looking at being a godly grandparent, or when you have godly grandparents, I should rather say. But what if you don't have godly parents? What if you don't have godly grandparents? And I'm sure that that's maybe a question that came to some people's minds as I spoke to you last week, Tuesday. And today I want to really look at this topic. I'm Rocky Stevenson, pastor of Benoni Bible Church, and welcome to Let's Talk here on Radio Pulpit. And today we're going to step into that subject that touches such a wide range of folk that will be listening even today. We want to celebrate, of course, the beauty and the influence of godly grandparents, and that's what we did last week. But today I want to really turn to a much harder question. What if you don't have a Lewis or a Eunice like Timothy did from 2 Timothy 1 verse 5? What if you didn't grow up in or with a godly heritage? What if your parents or your grandparents were absent or ungodly? Or even maybe if they were harmful towards you? And even more personally, how do you become a godly parent when you actually never had one and you don't have that type of an example that you had? So let's walk through this with an open Bible and even with open hearts. And this is such a joy to be able to do that together. But firstly, the scripture is honest about painful pasts. The Bible never ever hides the fact that many of God's people came from broken homes. Think about Gideon. His father was a worshipper of Baal in Judges 6 verse 25 to 26. Or Hezekiah was one of Judah's godliest kings who had perhaps the most wicked father in Judah's history. His father was Ahaz, 2 Kings 16, and in particular 2 Kings verse 18 to 1, verse 1 to 7. I mean, Hezekiah, you couldn't get worse parents than what Hezekiah had. Think about Abraham. He was called out of a family of idolaters. Joshua 24 verse 2 says that to us. So you could say of each of these individuals that their life began really in a way that they didn't have much of a spiritual inheritance. They didn't have a model. They didn't have example. They didn't have help. Even Timothy, who we spoke about last week, his father was an unbelieving Greek. We see that in Acts 16 verse 1. And yet the testimony of the scripture is this: your past does not determine your obedience. God's grace does. And this is why Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." And the verb is strong. Christ already made you new. The old things are not your master. Your parents' failures are not your prophetic, they're not prophetic over your future. In Christ, you are not doomed to repeat yesterday. And so you must free yourself from that kind of a lie and even that kind of a fear. And then another major aspect I want to talk about this morning is you must refuse the victim mentality that seems to surround us even in our own culture and in our own generation. We live in a culture that is eager to hand out labels of victimhood, everything from generational trauma, even this idea of generational curses. It's not a biblical principle at all. It actually just keeps you in fear instead of in faith, and perfect love casts out all fear. You must allow Jesus to determine your future, not what others may say about your future or what even you may have experienced. We are living in a world where we're talking so much about personality types, or you'll have even books that are written and YouTube videos that are done about birth order. And all of this is used at times to excuse sin. But the Bible speaks with clarity that this is both confronts this, but also comforts us in this. Ezekiel 18 is a passage I would take you to, is one of the clearest passages on this. And in verse 20, God says, "The person who sins will die. The son will not bear the iniquity of the father, nor will the father bear the iniquity of the son." In other words, you are responsible before God for your own life, not the life of your parents or the way that your parents lived. So their sin does not excuse your sin. Their failure do not, and their failures do not define your failure. Their ungodliness does not prevent your faithfulness. And just a few verses later, God shows the beauty of repentance in Ezekiel 18, verse 21 to 22. "But if the wicked man turns from all his sins which he has done, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions will be remembered will not be remembered against him. And that's the opposite of victimhood, because God gives dignity to every single person. He says, you are not trapped. You are not doomed. You are not defined by what was done to you or what was withheld from you. And the gospel frees us from the lie that I can't help it because of my past. No, the gospel frees you from that kind of a lie. Christ says, follow me, and I will make you new. So the next thing I want to talk about is confessing your own sin honestly. And one of the great temptations for those who come from ungodly families is to excuse their own sin because I wasn't taught any better, or my dad was like this, or my mom was like that. But Scripture pushes us lovingly toward the truth. Psalm 32 verse 5 gives us the pattern. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not cover. I said, I will confess my transgressions to Yahweh, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. And notice the honesty. Notice the openness. There's no hiding. There's no excuse. There's no blaming. The psalmist isn't saying, my parents failed me, my home was dysfunctional, my circumstances explain my sin. No, the psalmist says, my sin. And Proverbs 28 verse 13 adds, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain compassion. The path towards becoming a godly parent begins right there, with confession, with repentance, with walking in the compassion that God delights to give. You don't need a godly father to repent. You don't need a godly mother to confess sin. You need Christ, our Lord Jesus. He is enough. Then I want to talk about learning a new way in Christ. Ephesians 4 verse 22 to 24 gives one of the most practical pictures of Christian transformation. Put off the old man, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new man, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness and of the truth. This is the language of replacement. You put off what was modeled to you that was sinful. You put on what Christ calls you to, and you do it intentionally. And this is discipleship. It is not inherited, but it is chosen. This is what you must choose to do. Colossians 3 paints the same picture in verse 12 to 14 of Colossians 3, saying, so as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. But above all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. This is something that you must choose to do. Put it on. You are not copying the pattern of your earthly father or mother. You are imitating your heavenly father. We see this in Ephesians 5 verse 1. If your earthly father was harsh, you learn gentleness from Christ. Matthew 11 29. If your mother was anxious or unstable, you learn peace from Christ. Philippians 4 verse 67. There's a wonderful passage or a sermon that was preached on that recently by Pastor Wayne Gordon from Sandton Bible Church. He was at our men's breakfast at Benoni Bible Church, and it will be available, I believe, on our YouTube channel if you want to go and look it up from Philippians 4 verse 67. But if you grew up around anger or addiction or favoritism or apathy, then you learn a better way from the one who says, learn from me. That's what our Lord Jesus says in Matthew 11, 29. So all excuse is actually taken away from us because Christ has given us a new and a better way. Christ becomes the pattern for your parenting. And the next thing I want to talk about is doing the next best thing in Christ. Many believers feel overwhelmed because they think that good parenting requires instant perfection. But Scripture gives us a simple, more hopeful picture. Psalm 37 verse 23 to 24 says, the steps of a man are established by Yahweh, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because Yahweh is the one who holds his hand. Notice this, the steps. Not the leaps, not the bounds, not the instant transformation, just the next faithful step. What is the next faithful step? Well, step one is repent where needed. You cannot build a godly future on unconfessed sin. Step two is obey the clear scriptures. Teach your children the word of God, Deuteronomy 6 verse 6 to 7. Discipline them in love, Proverbs 13, 24 and Ephesians 6 verse 4. Model integrity to your children, Proverbs 20 verse 7. Walk humbly with God, Micah 6 verse 8. That's obeying the clear scriptures that we have in God's word. Step three is to pray constantly. James 1 verse 5 says that God gives wisdom generously and without reproach to those who ask. Ask God for wisdom and do what God teaches you to do. Step four is to connect inside of your local church family. Psalm 68 verse 6 says, God settles the lonely in families. The church becomes the spiritual family that you never had. Older men and older women become the examples that you maybe lacked from your own parents or your own grandparents. And you grab a hold of that with both arms. God gives to us a spiritual family that is part of the body of Christ, the church of the living God. Step five is keep your eyes on Christ, not on your past. Philippians 3 verse 13 to 14 commands us to forget what lies behind and to press forward. Every single step of obedience builds a new heritage in Christ, one that you can pass down to your children and your children's children. And here's step six, become the first link in a new chain. If you come from ungodly parents, then by God's grace, you have the privilege of becoming the first generation of faithfulness in your own family tree. Psalm 112 describes a man who fears Yahweh, and verse 2 of Psalm 112 says this, His seed will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. You may be the first link in the chain, but the chain does not need to stop with you. Your faithfulness becomes the soil for your children and your grandchildren to grow in. And here's the comfort that God delights to begin new stories. He did this with Abraham. He did this with Ruth. He did this with many within the scriptures, and he can do this with you, even Hezekiah, as I mentioned earlier. Christ redeems what the past broke. And one of the most beautiful truths of the scripture is that Christ doesn't simply save individuals, he restores everything that sin has twisted, including families. Ephesians 2 verse 14 says that Christ is our peace. Colossians 1 verse 20 says that he brings reconciliation. Psalm 147 verse 3 says that he heals the brokenhearted, and Revelation 21 verse 5 says and declares, Behold, I am making all things new. That includes your family story. That includes your future as a parent. That includes the legacy that you will leave one day when you breathe your last on earth. Your parents may have failed you. Your grandparents may have ignored God entirely. But your heavenly Father has not failed you, and he never ever will. So you are not what you came from. And that's my concluding thought for you today. Let me leave you with this. Your earthly family explains your past. It does not determine your future. Christ does. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. You are responsible for your own life. You are called to walk in repentance. You are commanded to put on the new self. You are invited into a new family, the church. You can be the first godly parent in your family. You can lead your children differently. You can break the pattern of sin by the power of Christ, and you can build a legacy that glorifies the Lord. And when you stumble, and you will, remember Psalm 37 verse 24, Yahweh is the one who holds your hand. Walk the next faithful step. Christ will supply the grace, and your children will rise one day and call you blessed. Thank you for joining me on this practical topic on this Theology Tuesday. May the Lord bless you, and may he bless every step that you take as you walk in truth. Amen.